know my song yet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm not gonna get a gold star this week. And it's all because of you. You killed 15 minutes of my piano time.
I got anxiety because I woke up this morning. I'm like, oh God. I set a reminder for my piano thing 3 days in advance so that I do notice, right? So I can practice. Mm-hmm. I haven't touched the keyboard since my last practice.
Yeah.
And I've already forgot like transitions and the whole, it's a mess.
I know. I practiced at lunch for a little bit and I was like, I'm so far away.
Yeah.
That's why I have a hard stop.
Do you know E sharp?
Absolutely. WST, your West Coast source for sports. I'm Kay Wynn. We got Big Ben. We're talking week 7 Pac-12 football. But before we get into that, let's go back in time. Let's review week 6 with Big Ben's 2-minute drill. Are you ready, Big Ben? Should I get the clock ready?
Get the clock.
All right, let's get into it. If I can find this clock, and here it is. Ready? We will get into the 2-minute drill right now.
In Eugene, the Duck only did 30 push-ups, but it was enough to hold off the Cal Bears and Wonder Boy Wilcox. Mario Cristobal's Duck defense held backup QB Devin Monster to only a 50% completion rate and picked him off twice. Justin Herbert looked more like a Bear of last year, posting a sub-50 QBR, but the Ducks were able to rush for 190 yards on the ground and putting a smile on the Shoe Hound's face. That's Phil Knight, for those that don't know. On the farm, if you fell asleep during the game, you weren't alone. The Husky offense was snoozing as well, only accounting for 294 total yards as the Cardinal upset the Huskies. Senior Cameron Scarlett from Portland, Oregon, by way of Central Catholic, carried the ball 33 times for 157 yards and a touchdown. Jet Ink Toner scored 11 points for Stanford. How do you do that, you ask? Well, you kick 3 of 3 field goals and score or kick 2 extra points. In Boulder, he's back. Khalil Tate throws for 404 yards and 3 TDs as the Wildcats come away with the victory. Nathan Tilford is the self-proclaimed Mike Allstott of the Pac-12. Boom! Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. 2 touchdowns from 5 yards out. The Buffs failed on their attempt to beat both the AZ schools this year, and the entire Kappa Kappa Gamma house has transferred to Tucson. Beavs, Beavs, Beavs. Jake Luton throws for 5 TDs down in the Rose Bowl, and Isaiah Hodgins had 10 receptions, 123 yards, and 3 TDs. Steele, Blackendegger, and Roby are all competing now for Luton's love as a spokesman. Those not familiar with those brands, they are chainsaw brands. It is the Beavs' first Pac-12 victory since November 26, 2016 in the Civil War versus the Ducks, the Cougs, and Trojans. Beat BYE, and that is Big Ben's 2-minute drill.
That was good. 2 minutes and 12 seconds. That little extra prep work was very well done.
Thank you.
I like the banter. I like the Beavs talk and Kizzy Tate. Is that a new nickname for our boy Khalil?
Kizzy Tate. Where did he come from? He's got a leg injury 1 week. He's a fragile man.
Hey,
but he's good.
He carries the offensive load. He runs, he passes, he runs for his life.
Let's talk week 7.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's talk Pac-12 player of the week.
Central Catholic. PDS.
Don't give it away yet. He hails from Portland, Oregon. He leads the Pac-12 in rushing with 564 yards. He ranks second in the conference with 702 all-purpose yards. His grandfather, great-grandfather, and uncle all attended the same college as him. I'm talking about Stanford senior running back, Portland, Oregon star, Cameron Scarlett. Congratulations. You're week 6 player of the week. Rushed for 151 yards, 1 touchdown, as the Cardinals upset UW last week.
I like it. You going to give Cam a nickname?
Cam Cam.
What is it? He's not 3 years old.
The Red Scarlet.
The Red. That's redundant. Everyone knows Scarlet is red.
The Rising Scarlet.
How about Cameron Scarlet Letter?
Ooh, I like that. Let's go with your nickname.
I'm a little... All right. Cameron Scarlet Letter, CSL. All right. Let's go. Week 7.
Wow. The Pick'em. You did well last week. I mean, you did better than I did.
Hey, my Beavs had to come through at some point.
So now you are up 3, 33-30, heading into week 7. You are predicting...
Both of us, though.
You are 70.2% right, and I'm 63.8% right. Year-to-date pick-ems.
That's not horrible.
It's really good, actually.
If we're at Vegas, or in Vegas, or... Maybe we should just take a season, Pac-12 season, move to Vegas, do our podcast from the Wynn Sportsbook, and just make more money than we do sitting here doing our normal jobs.
I'm in.
You're in. All right. We'll get
Let's
a sponsor.
Go. Week 7.
Friday night game.
Colorado at number 13, Oregon. Kicking off here tonight.
Did you get my Shoe Hound reference?
Yeah, that was really good.
The book?
Yeah, Phil Knight.
Herbert's got to play more like Herbert, not A-Bear. A-Bear is Herbert's alter ego. The softer, not as good, Herbert.
Yeah, the inefficient.
The fringe first round versus top 5. Colorado wheeling. Otson's going to be thumping. As always. Cristobal is going to have that D riled up. I have been pleasantly, I wouldn't say surprised. I think I've said their front 7. Oregon held, I believe, last week. I think I saw California to less than 70 yards rushing in total.
Look good.
Chris is a very good running back. And Chris Brown Jr.
Chris Breezy.
Breezy. Colorado does have Fontenette, who's a I wouldn't call him heralded, but he is a good running back. My opinion, the it's a quick turnaround, right? Generally, our body has time to rest. Oregon got to sleep in their own beds throughout the week, having played in Otson last week. Colorado's got to travel after a tough loss to Arizona. I see the Herbert being Herbert this week, and I see the Ducks 28-10.
Ooh, going Oregon. Well, last week, you said it. Herbert and the Ducks didn't look like themselves in the first half. They were held scoreless by Cal. They had 3 turnovers, red zone malfunction, and it looked all out of sorts. This week, the Ducks will be more effective. They're going to come out strong. I got a 50 burger. I got Ducks winning big, 55-28 over Colorado.
You're saying the Ducks' chest, he'll be able to bench press 315 at least 50 times after this game.
Yeah, he's going to look like The Rock after this game.
Ballers is great, by the way. Yeah. All right, let's get into Saturday matchups. Kicking off, by the way, if we want to go back and look at the national TV, we got 2 games on the Pac-12, 1 on NBC, and FS1 tonight. There's no national TV scheduled for the UW at Arizona game. First matchup, Madden is down in Tempe to watch the Cougs take on Big Herm and the Sun Devils, which used to be one of my more, I guess, the more fun trips for me. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it this year. Madden's down there.
Anytime you go to
going ham,
Phoenix, Tempe, it's fun.
Old town. He just sent me a text. I asked him to jump on. He said, I'm pretty hammered. We just got back from Talking Sticks. So
love it.
Madden's doing great. Let's talk a little bit about this matchup. So Washington State coming off a bye week, rested. The thing is, I don't know the exact records, but anytime a Washington school travels to Arizona, it's a tough, tough trip. Longest trip probably you can have in terms of Pac-12 opponents, in terms of travel. Again, they're not flying out of Pullman. They're flying from Spokane. I don't even know if there's a direct Spokane flight. They may have to stop in Salt Lake City, right?
They might not Arizona. Get there in time for the game, so I'm picking ASU. Ha ha, just kidding. Go ahead.
That's it?
No.
You're done? Go ahead. No, you're done?
No, no, no. I would like you to continue with your analysis.
Okay. Arizona State. You know what's funny is as I look at Arizona and Arizona State, similar type teams. And I say that it starts at the quarterback position. You got Jaden Daniels, who oddly enough may see a very similar career path to Khalil Tate, heralded, you know, kind of this RPO, very much a dynamic runner as much as he is potentially a passer, probably going to mold into a better passer.
Both from Southern California.
Exactly. Both from SoCal. So here's what I see playing out. I don't think this is going to be, I don't think the ASU defense, they gave up 34 points to the Buffaloes 2 weeks ago in a loss. I would see us as a little more dynamic.
Okay.
When I say dynamic, I'm meaning I think we have enough depth at receiver to also put up points against ASU.
All right.
Coming off a bye and the lambasting that they took, I see the Cougs bouncing back, but I see it as a very, very, very close game. I'll go Cougs 24-21.
Are you looking at my notes? Can you see my notes?
Wow. We think alike.
Actually, look up over your right shoulder. I got a Nest Cam that I installed.
We think alike. My analysis is going to be a little bit similar. But I'll start off with this. There are only two teams in the country that average 21 or more plays of at least 10 yards per game. Oklahoma Sooners and your Washington State Cougars. Chase Garbers at Cal and Montez at Colorado had success throwing against ASU secondary. I'm not sold on ASU secondary. So I believe Anthony Air Gordon and Wazoo's deep collection of receivers are going to have a field day. Cougs are going to win. They're going to score more. It's going to be 38-28. Go Cougs.
Love it. What do you think after a win? Does the rhetoric from Mike Leach change? Are they no longer big, fat, happy, and complacent, but they're tough, gritty, and resilient? We'll see. Yeah,
I believe so.
Big Herm versus Mike Leach. Let's get into a storied rivalry.
Ooh, it's a good one.
A very, very storied rivalry. We've all seen the game where I believe it was Linehart gets pushed into the end zone.
The Bush push.
The Bush push to get Linehart into the end
zone. Notre Dame fans are still upset about that to this day. They think they would have won the national championship.
They have a – I mean, here's the thing you got to – South Bend, Indiana isn't exactly one of the most populous places outside of the college. But – the history around the program is probably unrivaled in the way of college football.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I would agree. Everyone loves Notre Dame.
They're
kind of like the Yankees. You either love or hate them, but they have a big support system. They have a big fan base. They travel well.
They do. And they don't have to travel this week.
They do not.
And where I'm going with that is if you have to go to SoCal, they're probably the suntan lotion would be sold out. A lot of light-skinned people probably coming from South Bend, no offense. But, I believe that's a huge advantage for them this week. Ranked number 9 in the nation. Notre Dame has beat Louisville, New Mexico. They lost to Georgia in a close one. They were able to beat UVA and then had a layup against Bowling Green. From what I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, this is in your jurisdiction, Slovis is back this week.
I believe so. He is.
Helton, you know, the hot seat is, you know, it's similar to, you know, the heated seats in your car where you got probably 3 bars, 3 being the hottest. He's probably sitting at a 2 right now.
Okay.
I don't see, just due to the kind of the nature of switching quarterbacks, receivers being comfortable. I don't doubt the skill players of USC. I doubt the churn in quarterback and the cadence and continuity that we've seen in that position from USC. For that reason, I believe Notre Dame wins. Due to the stakes, meaning the rivalry, I believe it's closer than some may say when a number 9 team is playing an unranked team in USC. I got Notre Dame winning 28-21.
Wow. We have a lot of similarities in our analysis, but we'll get to that later. Notre Dame is loaded at the tight end position. Cole Kemick, Brock Wright, both juniors. They've also got sophomore tight end sensation, Tommy Tremble. So look for offensive coordinator Chip Long to go to his 2 tight end package and for Ian Book to throw to all 3 tight ends. Last week, the Notre Dame tight ends, 7 catches, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. I don't have anything to say about USC because Notre Dame's 3-headed tight end monster is going to be too much for the Trojans to handle. I got Notre Dame also scoring 28, but it's going to be 28-27 Irish.
Ooh, tight one.
Tight one.
46-36 with 5 ties, current head-to-head. So Notre Dame leads the all-time series. Current win streak's at 2. Is there a more Notre Dame name than Tommy Tremble?
No, there's not. Tommy T.
All right. That one will be on NBC, 4:30 kick, Pacific time, 6:30 prime time, out in, I believe they're in Central, maybe a little Middle Eastern Standard Time, but Utah at Oregon State.
Do you want me to go so that there's some fairness in this pick'em, so I'm not just following you?
I mean, at this point, I'm the leader. I feel like in golf, you know, the person who won the last hole gets the tee.
Okay. I thought you would want me to go so that you could be more strategic in your picks.
No, I don't need to be strategic. I'm good. You just either follow me or think you can make up some ground.
Okay.
This is how it works. Similar to golf. The person who scored the best on the last hole gets the box so that he hits one down the middle, and then you sit there and fret about if you're actually going to hit one down the middle too.
All right. Well, then don't you double bogey this pick and let me go?
Wow. That was good. Thanks. That was really good. And that might go down in your highlight tape, whatever you want to call it. The Utes come into OSU. And as I stated, Oregon State's first Pac-12 win flying high. Jonathan Smith is the mayor of Corvallis now. Jake Luton, quite candidly, from what I've told all of our listeners in the past, is an unheralded quarterback in the Pac-12.
He's solid.
Isaiah Hodgins, one of the top wideouts in the Pac-12 now, both statistically as well as, in my opinion, overall. I wouldn't say he's up there with some of the USC wideouts, but he has 632 yards receiving on the season. You look at Utah, somewhat of an unknown. And when I say unknown, Whittingham's got them right where I think everyone thought they would be, just in the way of the Pac-12 and what we've seen out of other teams. Utah's too tough, in my opinion, with the profile of their defense. I don't think Luton has as easy of a time as he did in beating UCLA. There's more pressure put on him up front. He is not a Heisman-level quarterback, but I think he's one of the top 5 to 6 in the Pac-12, upper half, upper echelon. Okay. But just due to that time, similar to what we saw with Mayfield and Bosa and Dee Ford pinging down on him, he'll make some inaccurate throws. And for that reason, the Utes will win 24-10.
There was an article this week in OregonLive.com asking, who has the better offense in Oregon, the Beavs or the Ducks? At first, I laughed, but then as I continued to read the article, it talked about Luton. It talked about the Beavs' offense that has scored 36, 28, 45, 28, and 48 points this season. So how will the Beavs do against Utah's vaunted defense? Utah's coming off a bye week. They'll be fully rested and prepared. And Whittingham is one of the best college coaches in the Pac-12, and he'll be ready with a game plan. That's why I've got the Utes slowing down the high-powered Beav offense. Utes win 34-28. Ben, I think you are on mute right now.
I was just going to let you sit uncomfortably in dead air. Mm-hmm. Similar to like when you ask for an order from a customer and they just sit.
No, they usually just send the invoice over right away.
Fun fact. Oregon State leads the all-time series against the Utes. Well, 11-9.
Well, it's going to be 11-10 over this weekend.
Current streak, Utah is on a three-peat against the Beavs, winning 2014, 2015, and 2016. Let's get into the nightcap. Pac-12 after dark. The East Coast will either be sleeping at Carlo East. You probably partied at Bounce all day. You are not going to take in this game. The Alabama game's already done. The Clemson game's already done. The Georgia game's already done. And now, as you are
on Bleecker Street eating your halala with chimichurri sauce all over your white pants and your Gators tea, Pac-12 after dark is coming on.
There we go. UW at Arizona. So let me tell a story. My father.
Remember when?
Remember when. My father said this was anytime similar when I would go down to Scottsdale for ASU, WSU quite frequently. When I say frequently, I think it's been three times. My dad said anytime that UW was playing Arizona, they would make a trip down. He said it was one thing he looked forward to, and the fact that his buddies would go down a couple days early, they would golf. And he said, as I stated earlier, that the UW would always have a tough time with Arizona down in Tucson.
Interesting.
I don't think that changes this week. And I'll let you go ahead with your pick.
Wow, well played. Well played there. So U of A is coming to this game. They're 4-1. They're 2-0 in conference play. U of A's two Pac-12 wins, a 3-point win over lifeless UCLA, and a 5-point win at Colorado when the Buffs were severely hampered by injuries, including their best player, Chenault. So in this hashtag Pac-12 after dark game, I'm going with Huskies. UW 42-31. Let's go.
When I paused there, I was actually waiting for a text back from our friend.
Who's our friend?
Our friend is Alec.
He did text them.
Who is the head of the Arizona sports program for what I'm going to call the student newspaper. In my text, it says, I go, are the Cats going to roll this week? Bear down. He replies, not so fast.
Whoa.
He has stated that Arizona, when put up against a decent defense, as he claimed it, has a tough time. And he still doesn't believe Tate is 100%. I asked him, final score, ? He says, I got the Dogs winning, 34-31. And I agree with Alec. The Dogs offense gets back on track. Montlake Jake finds some receivers, mainly Hunter Bryant. Actually, that's a tight end. Last week, it was all Aaron Fuller. Hunter Bryant shows up, catches two TDs. Montlake Jake throws three for 300 yards, and the Dogs win down in Tucson after dark.
So is this Alex's pick or your pick?
It was my pick supplemented by Alex's knowledge.
Okay.
I got my sources.
UW wins, I go up one since it's Alex's pick. Fair play.
Well, wow. let's talk about the state of the Pac-12.
Let's talk about it.
Just as it stands today. Again, no one in single digits in the way of rankings. Washington's out of the top 25. Many who prior to the season would say probably the best bet in the Pac-12 to represent us in the college football playoff at this point.
Are the Ducks our best shot?
Here's the thing. I was reading an article. I want to state my source. I don't think it was Wilner. It might've been Bungora from ESPN, but he stated you know, you think it's a good week for the Pac-12. And at this point, when you're playing in conference play, it seems like it's never a great week for the conference to elevate itself, right? Because we just beat up, we've talked about it, the cannibalization of us just beating up on each other. He had stated that, you know, even though Oregon wins and trudges through a win against Cal, who, you know, was a top 15 ranked team at one point, right? And he goes, it just makes the Pac-12 that much more unclear because, you know, you expect a team with the offense like Oregon to overcome, you know, Cal's defense. That didn't happen, obviously. It just kind of proved a point that Cal does have a pretty darn good defense, but also proved that Oregon has a really, really good defense as well. Conversely, Cal's playing with a backup quarterback and so forth. His point was that, you know, even though Oregon wins, in turn, Auburn loses. Right. So it's like one step forward, two step back, because if Auburn's in, say, you know, the college football playoff race at the end of the season, right, it proves that, or at least gives the Pac-12 a hope that Oregon only losing to Auburn in kind of a game that, you know, some would say was a coin flip towards the end there.
Well, it depends, though, because if Oregon slips, then this Auburn win against Oregon doesn't look that good.
Well, yeah, this isn't the Southeast Conference podcast, Kyle.
True.
I'm trying to tell you where I believe the state of the conference is, and it's where it was last week, right? We didn't progress, unfortunately, and we're still there's a glimmer of hope for Oregon in the college football playoff, but probably if Oregon loses this week, which I don't believe they will. But another loss is going to have you and I talking about who's in the Cheez-It Bowl and who's in the Redbox.com Bowl down in Santa Clara.
Yeah. Well, not to get ahead of ourselves, doesn't Oregon play Washington next week? I believe so.
That's always a big game.
Yeah. And who hates the Huskies more than the Cougs? The Ducks.
The Ducks. Absolutely. That's at UW on ABC next week. Little primer there. Obviously, yeah, but I mean, still only three ranked teams in all of the Pac-12. There's another thing on ESPN where they do the bottom 10. Mm-hmm. UCLA is obviously on that. But the other thing being is the entirety of the Pac-12 and just, you know, we're not the worst conference, but we're only the second worst conference, right? Out of the Power Five, right? So the depth is there, just the, what used to be the USC's, you know, in the, you know, Oregon's of the last decade aren't there.
Yeah.
So hopefully that changes with Gavin Newsom paying players. As we discussed.
Fair play to play.
All right. I think we've covered it.
Let's wrap it up.
Week 6 rewind, week 7 preview. We're going to have to edit this and get this out.
In the meantime, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WST_podcast. Ben, you want to tell them where they can listen to more WST episodes?
Anywhere. I've got us on TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Anywhere you get your podcast, you can listen to us now. Western Standard Time, WST_podcast on all social media, Big Ben and K Wynn.
Oh.